amazing love. Do you know that God loves you? That He has a special plan for your life? Through His Word and by His Spirit, this program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
We're called to walk in faith and be a people of faith, and we say the right words and we make the right proclamations and we use the right bumper sticker and we wear the jewelry. We sing all the songs as loud as anybody. But when we go home, what's real? My sister was speaking about some books. Witchcraft was one of them. And one of the reasons that we go into witchcraft, which is really manipulation and control, is because we're fearful. And the reason why we're fearful is that we really don't know God loves us. We're afraid if we don't control our children. And there's one thing to control a 3-year-old, but when you still do it with an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old, and then they're 25 and you're still pulling the guilt strings, that's manipulation and control. Another question I have, the Holy Spirit has, who's manipulating and controlling you? And why have you allowed it? For those that God sets free are free indeed. You're just as guilty if you're allowing someone to control you, because you're giving over free will that God has given you to worship Him, to serve Him. And it's easy to accuse someone else, but we need to repent for allowing somebody to pull that. And many times we allow ourselves to be manipulated and controlled because we're also in fear. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of loss of approval. And then we take it to the church and we allow ourselves to be controlled, and then we start performing for acceptance. You can get old really quick doing that. And it looks good and it sounds good, but when we have our identity in what we do, we're in trouble. When we have our identity in a position we hold in the church, whether it's evangelist, whatever it is, we're in trouble. If you're really free, you don't need a tag. Do you know what I mean? And if I want to set others free, I don't encourage their sinfulness by allowing them to control me. And you're just as guilty when you encourage someone who's a controller as you are as one who controls. And many times, control is it works in strange ways. Sometimes we need to get attention. We don't like others getting attention, so we draw attention to ourselves because we want the attention. Sometimes it could be a good thing, or it could be a negative thing, negative attention, because we feel so insecure, and we really don't know that God loves us. We need fear driven out of our heart. Fear, the fear of loss. Sometimes we don't even know, if I said to you this night, who are you? What would you say? Who are you? Who are you? And the Word tells me when Jesus Christ is in my heart, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. I have my identity in Him now. At one time I had to answer that question and I became shattered like a champagne glass, because all I could tell you was I'm Bruce's wife, Betty's daughter, Eric's mother, Craig's mother, Sherry's mother, Dean's mother, Bruce's mother. I had my identity in my relationship to others, but I had no identity of my own. And for a while I went through feeling, remember the old paper dolls? Anybody old enough here to have paper dolls? And you knew how thin they were in your hand. I felt like a paper doll. Not three-dimensional, but very fragile. Very fragile. But the one who brought me to the point where I was at that place where that question was asked would be the one who would heal me. He never starts anything he doesn't finish. So if you don't know who you are tonight, and you feel like a piece of shattered glass, look to him, the author and finisher of our faith, and he will give you your identity. I'm a daughter of the King. I'm precious in his sight. And so are you. Called and chosen, predestined. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is yours? Is your name there? It's so easy to be religious and go through the form and not have the substance. And sometimes we come out of denominations and we look back and we see the hypocrisy of religion and we say, well, I'm free of religion, and then we pick up another form and become even more religious, only it's more of a spiritual religion. We quote the same words, sing the same songs. Even our prayers become rote, and we know not to pray rote prayers. It's so easy to slip into that. And it's, oh God, I renounce every religious spirit. I don't want to be religious. I want to be spiritual. I believe that you love me. Lord Jesus, you died for me. And I don't have to perform for your love. A lot of the stress in our bodies and in our minds, it's the got to's. I've got to do this and I've got to do that because I'm not happy. One of my sayings with my husband at the end of the day, I'd say, I don't think I earned my salt today. I didn't even know where that came from. But apparently, the sailors on the ship, they were given a certain amount of salt every day because without salt, you get scurvy. That other things go wrong in your body. You need that potassium. And we get into that mentality. I didn't earn it. I didn't do it. So therefore, I feel guilty. I feel like nothing. Nothingness. Do you feel that way? We all have different personalities, thank God. And the Lord has made each one of us so unique and so wonderful. And yet, at the same time, we seem to have the same failures. Maybe not to the depth as others. But we struggle. We struggle to find out who we are. I want to look in his eyes, and I want him to tell me who I am. And when he looks back, he says, I love you. And it's amazing when you know someone loves you. You feel you could do anything. You feel you could go any place. Fear is driven out. Insecurity is driven out. Because the one larger than life loves you. But I have to rebuke that unbelief within me. Those thoughts that come. I choose to believe. There's one thing reading the Word of God, there's another thing believing it. You can quote it, you can read it, you can memorize it, but do you believe it? And not only believe it, do you eat it? So it becomes part of who you are. Sometimes it's easy to eat some of it, but not all of it. There must be some spiritual tongues out there. Sometimes we do bite up off more than we can chew. We try to read and understand things that God has not prepared us for. And then we put the book down and say, it's not for me because I don't really understand this. Put it aside and go where God is teaching you. Go where you are. And sometimes after many years, you have to go right back to the book that you first read when you got saved. You have to go back to base one. Okay? God is love. He who loveth not knoweth not God. Bite your teeth on 1 John. Bite your teeth on Psalm 23, Psalm 91. He who hides under the shelter of the Most High shall fear no evil. And when you read it as a love letter to you. Put your name in there. Personalize it. Sometimes when you've been a Christian for a long time, the word becomes rote. You've read it, and after a while, you're not even digesting it because you can recite it. Sometimes it's good to get a children's Bible. And one with pictures is even better. Because I want to be like a little child. I don't want to do same old. Because we don't want the flame to go out. I want it to burn ever brighter, not flickering. And there's a tendency as you get older and older in the Lord and older in your body to we become comfortable and familiar. And that excitement of the first bride, of the first kiss, of the first touch is gone. Just like a marriage. And tonight we're having a great time. Great time. And the Lord wants you to have a great time when you go home, when you get up in the morning. That it's just not someplace we go, but He wants us to live in that. Instead of getting dimmer and dimmer, brighter and brighter, brighter and brighter, not diminishing, but accelerating. And as in a marriage, one has to work at it. Because sometimes when one gets too familiar, we take each other for granted. And we're not even polite to one another. And the stress of children and the stress of the job, we become cranky. And who wants to live with a cranky person? And so the bridegroom of our soul, we become familiar with him and we get cranky. And we whine and we complain about things that wouldn't bother us when we were first filled with the Spirit. Oh my goodness, you wouldn't think about it. We cry for revival. We pray for revival in the nation. Oh God, revive me. Why is it easier to pray for other people than it is ourselves? Lay hands on yourself. Rebuke that demon of unbelief and doubt and fear. Rebuke that stuff. Heal yourself. Deliver yourself. Sometimes we're looking around, we're waiting for somebody else to do it. We have to take authority for ourselves. We all want to pray deliverance, but if you can't clean yourself off, don't do it. If you can't deliver yourself, don't do it. You can't copy somebody else if you don't have the faith and whatever to do that, the belief to do that. Can't mimic it, can't make it happen, but we can grow into it. We can have the faith into it. But first, I have to believe that He is. I have to believe that He's there for me. And sometimes it's hard. It's not easy. There's no place in the book that says the Christian experience is easy. But it's wonderful. It's excellent. Exciting. Marvelous. The only reason for life for me. What about you? You get the new car? Somebody bumps it in a FTP parking lot, you know, or ShopRite, Walmart. Get the new piece of jewelry and you lose it. You don't even know where it was. You get the earrings, you can't find the other one. The things you desire that you think you've got to have, and they turn into ashes in your hands. Because only that which is eternal is worth it. Everything else diminishes. So the question is, what do you desire? What do you want? What are you asking for? The one who's here knows every heart. He knows every desire and he knows every need. But there's something about it that he wants us to say it. There's something about verbalizing it. There's power in the word of God. There's power in the spoken word, whether for death or for life. Proverbs 18 tells us that life and death is in the power of the tongue. We can either kill with it or give life to it. We can either diminish someone or encourage them. Make their day. Make their day. And don't we need to hear that? That's what my sister was saying. Sometimes it's, we get so busy, we brush off even compliments. We don't even receive them. I'd rather not go there. And there's reasons why we do that. To be known. I can't let you look too close to me. It's easier to be a giver than it is a receiver for many people. Now, when you're a child, you're always open to gifts. Oh, don't, even if someone brings you a candy bar, aren't you thrilled? And if you're a girl, a piece of jewelry, or a boy, a baseball, a new baseball, or a new glove, new sneakers would really tip it out. And you don't even question someone's motives or anything, but as we get older, we become so changed, so wounded. What's your agenda? And it's easier not to receive than it is to receive. And we have an independent spirit. It won't hurt so much if I'm independent. I don't need you and you don't need me. But I can give to you, but I'm not going to receive from you. Because you're not going to hurt me. So there's a fear of being wounded. How can I trust you? How can I trust you? And as we become old, as years go by and we're older, it just gets bigger. I want to hear from God. We all want to hear from God, right? I want to feel his love. Oh, do I want to feel his love? But if I can't forgive, how can I feel his love? The reason is my heart becomes hard and nothing goes out, nothing comes in. If I want to feel love, I have to give love. And the more I give, the more I can receive. I need more. Do you need more? I need a love that's not going to reject me. And when I'm filled with his love, it's almost I can give and receive from you because I really don't care because I'm so secure in him. I could chew nails if he told me to. I could walk through fire if he told me to. What could mere man do to me? If God is for me, who can be against me? But I have to believe that for me. Do you believe that, that God is for you? The word tells us there's a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on as we run the race. The saints are up there, baby. And they're cheering us on. Come on, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Come on. And the word tells me to strip off every weight that would hinder me. Strip off every sin. Strip off every hindrance. If you're really a runner, I don't even know if they shave their heads nowadays so they can get an extra 30 seconds or 5 seconds. Strip off everything that's hindering. And run for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Because it's there for each one of us. It's not like the normal race in the Olympics. Okay, we're going to have one gold, one silver, one bronze. And what's the other one? I know it's not lead. Okay. But we can all have the gold. Every one of us can have the gold. Let's run for the gold. Let's not be satisfied with the silver, which is great, or the bronze. I want the best. And the reason we can have the best is it's right there. Each one of us have a gold medal up there. We can touch it. We can touch it. The holiness of God. Let's do it. Let's offer our bodies as sacrifices. For that's our reasonable service. For the one who died for me. I know there's a lot of preaching on giving your money, but you're not paying your way into heaven. God doesn't need your money. We give it out of faith because for the ministry. But sometimes we get into thinking, we don't need to think that way, but if I do this and do this and do this, I'm going to be okay. What he really wants is your heart. What he really wants is your body. He wants all of you. 10% is great, but he's looking for 100. He's not a waiter we're going to tip. And I don't think any waitress is happy about a 10% tip anymore. At least 20. So let's not tip God. Let's give him our whole life. He has settled for crumbs long enough. In the work of the ministry, each one of you here are ministers unto the Lord. Each one have been gifted by the Holy Ghost. Each one. Each one of us are responsible. And when we get before the throne, I don't think there's going to be any blame shifting. My mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my husband, my this, my that. I don't even know if there's going to be any words spoken because I think we're going to know. He's going to look at those gorgeous eyes right through us. And all the excuses are just going to go, here I am. So let's get rid of the excuses now. And stop blaming everybody else for our failures. Let's get rid of them. We won't control anybody then. We won't blame anybody because we're going to respond to what happens to us, not react. Not be finger pointers. We are responsible for ourselves before God, not anyone else. Not for our grown children. They make decisions themselves. We pray for them. We undergird them. But they're responsible. We intercede for them. And so many times we take on the guilt that's connected with them. And that's part of control. Yes, that's what he showed me. He said, put that child on the altar. And I got a call one night and I didn't like the call. I started getting hysterical. I told you he only spoken to me twice in my life. Maybe it was three times. And I'm getting my clothes on, I'm weeping, I'm getting crazy. And I heard this loud voice within my head, put him back on the altar. Yes, sir. Scared the boots right out of me. That voice didn't come from me, didn't come from the devil. It came from the living God. Let go, let God. And sometimes they need to meet the healer themselves. I don't save anybody, but he sure does. And sometimes we get into, well, if I had said this and I had done this, and it's like, you'll have yourself crazy. Sometimes we try to play the Holy Spirit. And then we're just so messed up because we think we failed. It wasn't our job anyway. There's things I don't understand. Are there things that you don't understand that has happened in your life? I don't understand. But when I get on the other side of heaven, I'm probably going to see him, and all my questions are just going to go away. I'm going to know, it's okay. I don't understand this. But I do know that he'll take the grief out of your spirit. He'll take the pain away. And when he takes the pain away, then you can. A little bit heavy after all that fun. But I have to give the message as it gets it to me. So Lord, I give you my parents, and I trust that you're going to save them. I give you my brothers and sisters, and I thank you that you're going to bring them into the kingdom. You're the evangelist, and however you're going to do that, Lord, we bind every spirit of Antichrist that would come against our family. We pray that every power would be bound that would keep them from coming into your kingdom. We loose your Holy Spirit. And Lord, you know our children in bondage, addictions, bad lifestyles. Lord, you know where they are. And I don't even want to go there, Lord, but you're not shocked. He's not shocked. He knows everything. And Lord, we just offer our children up to you. We bind every demon from hell. Every demon, every unclean spirit, every demon behind drug addiction and alcoholism and compulsive gambling. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and brood over each child that's represented here that we mothers and dads have been crying over. And we pray that you'd bring them into your kingdom. You bring them in, Lord. You deliver them. You deliver them. Deliver them. However you have to do it, deliver them. But Lord, we ask your mercy, as a mother asks your mercy, that they will come the easiest way possible. You can tell I'm always whining. Lord, that even as they sleep tonight, Lord God, they would have a divine visitation. We've heard about people having marvelous visions. The girls were sharing visions. Lord, give them a vision. Give them a dream. Let them see what they're doing, Lord God, and blow it up in their face, whatever sin has them ensnared. And they rip the cover off their eyes and let them really hear and really see what they're into. Let them see the demonic power behind it, that they might repent. And at the same time, Lord, I ask you to cover them. Cover them in your mercy, and deliver them. Deliver our babies out there, oh God. And oh Lord, I ask for the gift of reconciliation in our families. Brother not talking to brother. Sisters, brothers, Lord, you know what's going on there. We've got stepmothers, stepfathers. Oh God, you know all the fractures. Lord, we ask for the gift of reconciliation. The gift of reconciliation. And I know you can do that. You can do it. Supernaturally, Lord God. I've experienced it. I know it. God is good. God is good. And Lord, you know the in-laws. You know the ex-in-laws. The grandmas that feel separated from their grandchildren because of divorce. And Father, I ask you to minister to them and bring them in too. Bring them in too. Father, we thank you that you set the lonely in families. And I thank you that when we don't have a family ourselves, that you place us in a family. And you put people in our lives that we can be a family with. An extended family. So Lord, we thank you for our extended families, and we pray for their deliverance, their healing, their wholeness, for all those people you have put in our heart to care for and to pray for. Thank you, Jesus. Dismantle the high places, oh God. dismantle the high places in our lives, in our minds, in our heads, Lord. You know how we think. Thoughts get stuck in your head. Just think about it. For those here who have thoughts that just keep going over and over and over in your head, and you try to pull your head away and you can't get it. It gets stuck there. It's almost an obsession. And right now, in Jesus' name, we just rebuke the spirit of obsession and obsessive compulsive behavior that would cause you to eat when you're not hungry, to clean when things are clean. And the fear of loneliness, let the fear of loneliness be broken. And the fear of isolation, the fear of no one understanding. And you try to communicate to sometimes, and some folks here, you try to communicate, but it's like your words get twisted from your mouth to the hearer, and you always feel misunderstood. They become garbled. And your heart is right, but you just can't communicate correctly. And so being misunderstood, you do feel isolated. And are isolated. We just pray for that deliverance right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that you would communicate clearly, precisely, and would rebuke the enemy that would twist your words, that would keep you from being understood. It has broken relationships. And you want to say the right thing, but you wind up saying the wrong thing or the right thing at the wrong time. Lord, I thank you that you've called each one of us to be communicators. And we want to communicate your gospel. And as we touch you, we want to touch the world. Lord, help us to communicate clearly to our children, to our spouses, and then to the world. Put your words in our mouth. Your word tells me, open my mouth and you will fill it. Lord, put your words in our mouth. Help us to be better communicators. Help us to be more sensitive to the needs of others and not just our own world. Help us to be more caring. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazingloveministries.org.